Welcome to the Balanced Wellness Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Courtney Ciccoletti, your pharmacist turned functional medicine practitioner and integrative nutrition health coach. I'm on a mission to help others find alternative solutions to the chronic issues that far too often consume our lives. Balance is an individual journey that looks different for everyone. So on this show, I sit down with other leaders in the wellness space to discuss ways you can achieve it. We tackle topics like recovering from chronic illness, developing habits to improve mental health, and even how natural remedies like CBD can help aid in the healing process. It's time to find a solution to balance your wellness. Welcome back. Today, I am kind of super excited for our guest. He is very special to me in so many ways. David Stone is a pharmacist and the owner of three locations of professional pharmacy in Pennsylvania, which is my home away from home as a pharmacist. David has been my friend, mentor, sounding board, and even like my big brother at times. Today, David is going to share his story of an Ironman triathlon that he recently completed. I'm so excited to hear the details. Welcome, David. How are you?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm looking forward to it.
I am excited that you're here. I have heard you have told me bits and pieces of your experience, and I'm so proud of you, by the way. So amazing that you completed this. And, you know, I heard, you know, bits and pieces as we chatted, but I want to hear the juicy details today. I want you to tell our listeners all the good stuff and the bad stuff and everything that comes along with this. So, you know, how did you get involved in this endurance sports training? What sparked your interest? When did you start? How did you start?
I've been cycling since I was 19 years old, on and off. So I've been active in the cycling community. And then in about 2008, I started doing triathlons just on a whim. Carried on through kids and different hobbies and stuff. And then most recently in 2018, I restarted my triathlon career, joined a team out of Spring Valley Y called the Gators, did a bunch of events with them. And Ironman was something that I always had in the back of my mind, but I never really wanted to do simply because of the time. I had a friend last summer. I was sitting on vacation on my lounge chair, and he posted in Facebook. He said, "I'm doing Ironman Lake Placid in 2022. Who would like to join me?" And for some crazy reason, I decided that that person would be me, along with 10 other teammates that we had. So we had a total of 12 people that signed up for the race. So I was kind of excited at that point. Obviously, it was a year ago. So I thought to myself, wow, I've got a year to do training. I'll be okay. Year went extremely quick. So yeah, so that's how I got my start in it. So you just want me to jump right into the race, or you need to highlight my training or what I did, or how would you like me to go about the whole storytelling part of it?
Definitely talk about how did you prepare? So what did you do when you first were like, okay, I'm signing up for this? Like, what did you start to do to condition your body? Like, how did you prepare mentally, physically for it?
The first thing I did, I had a coach. So I talked to my coach about it. I also talked to my wife, Meg, about, you know, should I be allowed to do this, or can I do this? Because it's simply how much time was involved. And we both decided that, yeah, I think I can do it. I won't take up, you know, every bit of our like spare time, but it almost did take every bit of our spare time at the end. I talked to my coach and she said, yeah, you have a year to train. You're already doing some halves. So I've already done the half distance, which is a 1.2 mile swim, a 56 mile bike, and a half marathon, a 13.2 mile run. So I'd already done a few of those. So I figured the next step up would be the Ironman. So I actually started training for it in December with some weight work and some conditioning work. I did that through Christmas and into January. And then I actually got into the meat of the training for the Ironman, which, you know, swimming twice a week, biking twice a week, and running twice a week, and then having one day off. And then like the build phase was from February all the way up until May, where I would increase my training every week. Every week on a 3-week basis, then 1 week I would take back and have a rest week. So every 3 weeks I'd be increasing, then have a rest week, and then increase from there. So I built all through the spring, worked on my diet. I had a weight goal in mind. My race weight is around 205 pounds. I did not make 205. I entered the race at 210, which I was a little disappointed about, but I think just being, you know, active, I just couldn't get down to 205. No, nothing I did, I could get to 205. So I was happy that I was close at 210.
But tell our listeners how tall you are too, just to put it into perspective.
I'm 6'4".
So. You're not a small dude. So yeah.
No. So my, I mean, my BMI still, even at 205, I'm still 25, which is still technically considered high, which we could have a whole other podcast on why the BMI is useless and why any doctor using BMI should never use that number.
We should definitely schedule that.
Yeah. I don't like BMI because I'm not overweight by any means, but I'm considered overweight. So that's just, I just don't understand how someone who's 6'4 and weighs 211 pounds is considered overweight. But anyway, that's something for another podcast, like we said.
It will be. We'll schedule it. Okay.
So yeah, so I, you know, did a bunch of different things. I mean, we were doing 7-hour bike rides. We were doing 2.5-hour runs. I was in the pool for, you know, an hour, hour and a half at a time. Did this all the way up until about 2 weeks from the race, where we went into our taper period, which is where we slowly start to downgrade and not train as much so that you're more fresh on race day. We also did a training camp in Lake Placid at the end of June, rode the course, actually did the course on three separate days. So on Friday, we did the whole swim. On Saturday, we did the whole bike. And on Sunday, we did the run, just so we had an idea of what we were coming up against. Because as my first time doing an Ironman, I did want to know like what the course was like. It was the course is very hilly. I'm not a climber by any means since I weigh so much. So I wanted to make sure that I was climbing properly and I knew what was coming ahead. The run also had some significant hills on it. So I wanted to make sure that I could run the hills. And the swim was actually one of the not easier swims, but one of the better swims on the Ironman circuit. Mirror Lake, which is right in the middle of Lake Placid, is a beautiful lake. Has clear water, and they actually have a cable that runs about 4 feet under the surface that they use for rowers so that you can sight on this cable. It was basically a two loop out and back. So you're just swimming along, looking underwater at this cable. And as long as you just kept the cable, you know, off to your right or off to your left or wherever you were, you knew you were going straight. So yeah, that was the training weekend. And I guess that leads me up to race day, which I had a goal in mind. You know, they say, you know, for your first Ironman, your goal should always just be to finish, simply because you don't know what's going to happen. I had a goal time in my mind from the start, which was about 13 hours, which I was hoping to do. I will say my ending time was about 15 hours and 41 minutes, I think was my finishing time, which obviously is a little bit longer than 13 hours, but it was still, I had a goal in mind, which I didn't reach. So
yeah, either way, it's still amazing. And guess what? You finished. So
yeah, so I did finish. So yeah. So like I said, there's 12 of us. So we had been training all along. We all went up to Lake Placid. We got there on Thursday. We did our check-ins, got our positions in the racks, got our numbers. Friday we did a swim. All went up and did a swim together. There's a rock there that has the plaque on it. We all got our pictures taken. A lot of families were there. I think we had almost 40 people total, who was our cheering section. Meg and both girls were there, so that was exciting. We were initially not going to bring them because we thought it'd be too much for them, but they ended up having a great time. In fact, they did their own kids races while they were there on Saturday, so that was pretty exciting.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was cool. Belle did a swim and a run, and Lily just did a run because her age group was just a run. So they did Ironman events and they got little Ironman badges and medals and stuff. So they were really happy about that.
Oh, I love that. That's so cute.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun for them. So Sunday morning is race day. We get up early. So we got up around 3:45. I met a friend and we walked our stuff up in a transition, got all set up. And then you basically just wait around to the start. So we kind of just try to keep active and not stand too much, you know, just hanging around, enjoying, you know, looking at the views, talking about the race and everything. Around 6:15 or so, we started to get ready for the swim. So we put our wetsuits on. Our wave went off at about 6:50. So they line you up in this long corral. And they go off by time. So if you think you're a fast swimmer, you go off first. The slower swimmer is next, and the slowest swimmers are last. So I don't know if anybody remembers that weekend, but that was the weekend that the whole East Coast was being baked by really, really warm temperatures. And for Lake Placid, I think it was very, very warm that weekend, which is unusual for them in the summer. So we were in our wetsuits for about 45 minutes, which is probably, looking back, probably where my problems for the day started. I didn't have any water with me, so I was probably dehydrating in the wetsuit because it was warm and they're meant to keep you warm in the water. So they do also keep you warm when you're on land. So not having water with me was probably a pretty big mistake. And then entering the water itself was warm. The water was probably in the 74, 75 degree range, which is unusual for Lake Placid. And swimming in a wetsuit for that length of time, I do think I got out of the water fairly dehydrated, which is probably the start of the rest of the day for me. I came out of the water. I felt pretty good. There's a long, kind of downhill jog into transition. I actually saw Meg and the girls, gave them a hug. Went off in a transition, got on my bike, got all my nutrition sorted out, jumped on, started out, was about 5 miles out. And then one of my teammates I came across, and she was actually on the side of the road off her bike. She had had a leg problem at Ironman Maryland last year, and it turned out that she had crushed her pelvic artery and had a procedure done where they redid her circulation or anything, but the same problem reared up again on her on this ride. So I stayed with her for about 5 or 6 minutes, just trying to help. She did not finish the race. In fact, she had life-threatening blood clots at the time.
Oh, wow.
And I felt really bad for her because I didn't want to leave her alongside the road, because she's been a really good friend to me. And we've trained a lot together. I just felt heartbroken leaving her on the side of the road to fend for herself. And she wanted me to continue my day, which, that's what I did. First loop was 56 miles, obviously. So it's a two loop course. So I felt really good. I was eating and drinking. I had peanut butter sandwiches with me, Uncrustables actually, in my back. So I was eating the Uncrustables. I had gels. I had a bunch of liquid nutrition. I felt really good coming through the end of the first loop. Meg and the girls were on course. Our house was right on the bike course. So I got to stop at the car and see them for a little bit, give them hugs and everything. And then I got into transition, and when I got in to pick up my liquids, they have people that bring you the liquids out. And I noticed that my bag was full of water because one of the tops had actually opened up into the bag. So I lost a bottle there. But I took on more liquids, took on some more Uncrustable sandwiches, put those in my back. I had jelly beans in there. So I took some jelly beans with me just to have some fun with while I was eating them. So I came out of transition, and I'm doing the long climb back out of transition into the course. And I noticed some nausea happening, which was not unusual for a longer bike ride, but I started drinking a little bit of water. And then I started taking on some of the liquid nutrition I had, and my stomach got worse. I also started to feel fairly warm. It was a warm day, but I could tell I was overheating. So the first rest stop, I stopped my bike, and I didn't get off my bike. I straddled the top bar and I took some water and started pouring it on my body because I knew I was overheating. And I happened to glance down and my heart rate was in the 170 range, which is not that great because that's 170 is my max. So I waited for a couple minutes, got back on my bike and started pedaling again. And there's a long climb that comes out of there, out of that part of Lake Placid. And by the time I got to the top of the climb, my heart rate was in the 200s.
Oh gosh.
So I know something was going on. I didn't feel that great. I felt nauseous. So there's that part of the course is called the Keen Descent. It's a long 6 mile downhill descent. So I figured I could cool off during the descent. Maybe that was just overheated. So I did that whole descent, got down the bottom. My heart rate still hovering around the 180, 185 range. And once I started pedaling again, it jumped back up to 200. Next rest stop, which is at like mile 20 and change. I didn't get off the bike, but I put both feet on the ground. I got more water and started, pouring it over my head, down my back. They didn't have any ice, which I wish they did because I could have used some ice, but try to cool off. And I figure I better start eating something because that's the part of the course where you really need to start eating because it's all flat. I took a bite of the Uncrustable and almost threw it up. So I stopped eating at that point. Just got back on my bike and kept on pedaling. By the third rest stop, which was around mile 31 or so, I was fairly nauseous. I wasn't drinking any water. My heart rate was 210, 215 at that point. So I knew I was struggling. So I just figured I'd do the same thing at this rest stop. So at that rest stop, I just took a bunch of water and poured it over me, tried to cool down, continued on to the fourth. Did the same thing. My heart rate was still up. And then the last part of the course is a long climb back into Lake Placid. It's a 12-mile long climb. So I started doing that, and there's a rest stop about 3/4 of the way up. So I made it to the rest stop. I had started dry heaving a little bit before that rest stop on my bike. So I was just right along dry heaving, couldn't drink or eat anything. I got to the rest stop, and I actually did climb off my bike. I put my bike in a rack. They have racks for bikes. And I went, and they have these kiddie pools, the plastic kiddie pools full of ice and water where people were sitting in them that were overheating. And they had two of them, and they both were full. So I just sat down next to the one, and there was an EMT there. And I said to the EMT, I said, I'm not in good shape. So if I don't get back up, you can just pull me from the race. So he's like, whatever you want, buddy. So I sat there, and there was ice. So I took a bunch of ice and I started putting it down my back. A bunch of water. I just started taking water bottles and just opening them up and pouring them over my head. I couldn't eat or drink at that point. So I just figured I'd just try and get my water, my core temperature down, and I could, you know, do something. I guess I sat there for probably 10 minutes. I'm not really sure how long it was. And this whole time, Meg is tracking me. The Ironman has a tracker where you know where your athlete is. And she could see I was sitting somewhere, but didn't know why.
So she had to be freaking out at that point.
Yeah, because there's ambulances and stuff, and there's helicopters flying because people had crashed on course and everything. So she was really worried. And I thought about quitting at that point because I know I was in bad shape. My heart rate max at that point was 238 because there's couple of times I was in the 230s, and I just not feel well. I've been dry heaving, and I don't know.
Were you basically massively dehydrated at that point? Is that?
Yeah, I think once I was already dehydrated from the swim. I think coming out of the swim, I was dehydrated. And then I got behind on the first loop. I didn't realize how it was warm and windy that day. And it's already, you know, the wind on the bike, especially, you don't know you're sweating. So it's hard to gauge how much fluid you need. And I was way behind. And once you get nauseous, you can't even cold water doesn't help. So I got on my bike and I just figured, you know, there's no way I could quit because I'd have to call Meg and tell her I'm quitting. I'm they're going to pull me from the course. Then there's no way for her to get to me because all the roads are closed. I don't want to leave her in that condition, you know, that I just called her and said, I'm quitting. So the climb back, I had a quarter of the climb left, and where we were, she was just beyond the top of the climb. So I figured if I could just climb up there, I can get to her, and you know, then she can, I can figure, I can quit there. I can talk to her, everything. So just as I was getting on my bike, one of my teammates came by, a guy named John. He's like, Dave, are you doing all right? I said, no, I'm in really bad shape. He goes, you know, why don't you just keep riding with me? We'll just, I'm getting emotional about it. You know, why don't you just keep riding with me? We'll just make it up the hill, you know? And he's talking to me the whole time. He's, you know, cheering me on. So let's just keep doing this, you know? And I said, John, you know, I don't want to ruin your race. You're on a good day. You know, so I said, go ahead. I'm right behind you. So he did go a little bit above me. And then as it turned out, you know, he made it to Meg first. And she's like, you know, John, where's David? I'm worried about him. He said, he's right behind me. He's coming. I'm sorry. I'm getting old.
No, it's okay. This whole experience is so, it's not just about your physical endurance. That's why when I said at the beginning, mentally, it's so much. And then just your family keeping you going and just your teammates and everybody just really being there for each other. It's special. It really truly is.
So, yeah. So he rescued me because I was in really desperate shape, and I made it to Meg. I'm thinking, I'm just going to quit because I can't do this anymore. And my daughter Belle was sitting there and she's like, go daddy, you can do this. I'm like, holy shit, I can't quit in front of my daughter.
Now you're making me cry.
So I said to myself, there's no way in hell I'm going to quit in front of my daughter. Cause she was like cheering me on saying, you can do this. So I I got back on my bike and I, you know, it was another like 3 miles of transition. I got the transition. And as I coming out of the, you know, you go into transition, they take your bike from you and you go into these changing tents where you take off your bike stuff and you put your run stuff on or whatever you do. So I'm in the run stuff. I'm in the tent. I got my run stuff on and I walk out of the tent and I can go straight and go into the course, and off to the right is the medical tent. And I'm standing there looking at the medical tent. Like, I just want to go in that medical tent and be done. And Meg was right out at the end. She said, "David, what are you doing?" I said, I just looked at her. I just put my hands up and she said, come here. So I walked over to Meg and she's like, "Listen, Logan, your coach said, just start walking. You never know what's going to happen. You know, just start walking." So I just started walking at that point. And I'm thinking to myself, I've got to walk 26.2 miles. There's no way in hell I'm going to be able to do this. And the crowd's cheering. Everybody wants you to run and everything. And it's just like, you want to do what you can, but I couldn't, you know. So I started walking. And about 3 miles in, I saw ahead of me was another one of my teammates. A guy named Don, and I caught up to him and I said to Don, I said, "You know, what's going on, Don?" He said, "I'm not feeling well." I said, "I'm not feeling well either. In fact, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I think I might drop out soon." He's like, "You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't feel well. I haven't been able to eat either." And we just said to each other, "You know what, let's just start walking and see what happens." So we got to like the fourth, every mile they have a table full of food and like chips and stuff. And I said, "You know, Jenny, one of our coaches said to me, if you get in trouble on the run, just start eating chips at the aid stations, because the chips have potassium, it's easy, and sodium. It's easy to dissolve. You know, you can just let it dissolve in your mouth. You know, it doesn't, you know, not hard to chew or anything." So I got to that table. I said, "Donna," said, "you know, Jenny told us to start eating chips." So I just started eating. I ate one chip. I said, "You know what? The next stop at mile five," I said, "let's just eat two." So I ate two chips, you know, and by mile six, I actually ate like four chips. Of course, we were walking the whole time. It wasn't like we were running, but we were figuring out in our mind, you know, if we can walk at 16 minutes a mile, we can make this thing work, you know, because there is a time frame that you have to finish in. So we figured out if we could walk a 16 minute mile, we can finish within the time that we need to finish this race. So we just kept walking and, you know, we spent time talking about lots of different things. I mean, it turned out we walked and talked for 7 hours. But yeah, it was, and we saw a bunch of our teammates. I had, like I said, we had, we did have Jill, my one friend, she did drop out. And then we had another teammate who dropped out, who actually went the other way, who had a dangerous condition called hypokalemia, where he had actually drank too much water and diluted his potassium and it ended up passing out at one of the aid stations. So there was 10 of us on course. So we got to see a lot of people, do a lot of hugs. And I won't go over the whole 7 hours, but finally made it to the finish line. His family was about 200 yards from the finish line. So he's actually spent about 10 minutes talking to his family, because at that point, who cared what our time was? I had pretty much fully recovered. I did, you know, they had a chicken broth that they brought out on course, which helped a lot. By the end of the walk, I was feeling normal as far as what normal could be that day. I wasn't nauseous anymore, but there was no way and I could have run at that point. So we just walked over the finish line together, gave each other a big hug, and that was it. Yeah, so that was, the story continues, because then on Wednesday after the race, my coach texted me at work and said, "I just finished looking at your heart rate profile. And I really think you need to go to the doctor, because I guess I was 90 minutes above 200 and I was 23 minutes above 230 with my heart rate." So she was concerned that maybe I damaged my heart. So I did end up in the emergency room on that Wednesday, which actually happened to be my birthday. So that was fun.
I didn't know that. I was wishing you a happy birthday with like, yay emojis. And I didn't even know that.
Well, I didn't go until after you had texted me, because this was until the afternoon until I could get to my doctor and talk to my doctor. She sent me just the emergency room right away. So you already texted me that stuff. I didn't even text you that. I had to go to the hospital. But as it turned out, I've gone through testing and everything's fine, but they just wanted to make sure everything was fine. So yeah, that's the story of my Ironman race. I mean, I started off racing and ended up walking and ended up finishing. So that was a great thing about it. But
I think it's amazing. You have so much stamina, endurance, courage, and it's just, you know, it's like almost like just the power of human emotion, like got you through it, because just every step along the way, like just when you thought you couldn't, you had those moments, you know, you had Meg, you had the girls, just Belle telling you go down, like that just, you know, it just made you keep going, you know, just that you had your friend to walk with and be like, you know what, let's just keep going. Just like Nemo, just keep swimming. Like, just keep going. We got this. Like, and the fact that you finished is amazing and your body was in terrible condition, but you still just did the little things that you could do to get you to where you got. So it's amazing. That's like not, that's just such an amazing feat that you accomplished. And I'm so proud of you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. There's, you know, in a long course triathlon like that, that's what everybody says. Just keep moving forward. Whatever you do to keep moving forward. Without John coming on the bike, I was in really, really bad shape. And that's what teammates, you know, they come up and they help you. And he actually had, I think, one of his better races that he's ever done. Maybe not his best, but it was for him, I think, a really good race. So he took his time out to help me, which I'm grateful for. And then my friend Don, who I had come up across on the run, he's a really, really good triathlete. So I kind of figured that if Don's suffering right now, maybe it's okay that I'm suffering. Maybe I shouldn't feel so bad for myself. I mean, Don's much, much faster than I am. So, you know, and I knew if he was in bad shape, it was okay for me to still be in bad shape. And I think when we came across each other, we just, you know, spent 7 hours talking about life and triathlon and movies and movie quotes. And I mean, when you spend 7 hours with somebody that you know, it's a long way. So especially walking.
We were
trying to cheer on other, because at that point, most of the people that are still competing are walking. It was getting late in the night. In fact, we were coming across people who were going to finish well after midnight, and they had been on course since 6:30, 6:45. So that 17 hours to be out there is a long, long day. And they were still going to be finishing, and people did finish after midnight, which technically you can finish, but you're not recorded. You're recorded as a did not finish simply because you didn't make the time cut, but they still let you finish. You still get a medal and everything. And that the actual best time to watch it is at midnight when people are trying to beat the cutoff and doing everything they can to beat the cutoff. There's even pros there that come back to the course to help people get across the finish line. But that's the best time at night. I think we finished about 10:45 at night. So we were just under that time. So it was still okay. So
wow, that's a long day. That's how many hours total was it?
Well, from start to beginning, my time was like 15 hours and 40 minutes, but doesn't, you know, the hour and a half before that we're standing around, you know, the afterwards we were at the finish line for another hour recuperating and watching other teammates come in. So yeah, you start your day at 4. I mean, I woke up at 3:30 and I went to bed that next night at 1:45.
So you were almost up a complete 24 hours basically. Almost.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny too, because you prepared and you prepared the best you could have prepared. You had all the right coaches, you did all the right things, but you know, sometimes life is life and you couldn't have prepared for what the weather was going to do that day. Yeah. You know, all of the things that happened that, you know, like you said, when you got out of the water, you knew at that point, like you were already a little bit behind because you already felt that dehydration. And then the fact that the weather was the way that it was and contributed to it, you know, all of those things are things that you can't prepare for, you know, and
can't prepare for. Right? You plan for things, but sometimes your plan doesn't work out and you just have to do the best you can with what you have left, which I think most people on course, that's what they did. I mean, or I think there was lots of people that didn't think they'd be walking at that point, but we're just walking because there's no other choice. People, their bike fails, or, you know, they have two flat tires and other tubes, or, you know, a couple of people didn't get out of the swim. They had panic attacks on the swim and they weren't expecting that. So that, you know, it's just one of those things where keep moving forward and just don't think about too much, because there's way too much to consider when you're out there. So
absolutely. you can plan for everything, but you can't prepare for some of the things that just happen that are life that just interfere, whether they were things that you were able to, okay, we can get new tires, we can fix this, and maybe my time's not going to be where I want it. Or, you know, even your friend who had a life-threatening condition that she just couldn't go on and had to stop and, you know, whatever. So at least be safe, you know, do the right thing that's going to be able to, you know, if you have to quit for whatever reason, but if it's something that you can, you know, get back up and keep going, go. And I'm so proud of you that you did and that you finished. I'm so proud of you.
Now I'm planning the next one. So.
Yay!
I told Meg I'd take a year off simply because how much time it was. So it'll be next summer before I do another one.
I was just going to say, she might need the mental preparation that she went through that day, because I know Meg and I know that, yeah. Oh gosh, that can't be an easy thing. Just her worrying and just making sure that, you know, that you're doing the right thing. And even when you were struggling, you know, her struggling right there with you as your partner, like, it's just, you know, just knowing, you know, just feeling it, feeling what your husband feels. It's just how it works. So, yeah. You know,
having her at the finish line, because I got to hug her before I went across the finish line, because she was there. And I don't know if I tell you, but Lily, my youngest daughter, actually had a stomach virus that day.
No. So
not only with that, but she was having to take care of Lily at the same time. Was,
oh my gosh.
A handful. But gosh. Yeah. She was a real trooper about it. I think she enjoyed the whole atmosphere because she's an athlete herself. And she enjoyed just how, you know, how many people were there. That it is a big race. Lake Placid is one of the iconic Ironmans in this country. In fact, it's probably the biggest. There's the championships in Hawaii, but beyond that one, I think Lake Placid, and just the, you know, the fact that you're finishing on the same place where Eric Heiden won 5 gold medals, or, you know, 100 yards from where you are is where they won the, you know, they beat the Russians and won the Olympic gold. Well, at that point, they still won the Olympic gold medal, but that building is literally right there standing next to you.
That's so cool.
It is. It's just like the whole Lake Placid atmosphere with the Olympics and, you know, the beauty of it and the mountains and everything. It's just fantastic. What a fantastic setting. So yeah, made the whole trip worth it. I mean, you're right. My race wasn't what it was, but I still finished. So I'm happy about that. Still working through some things to enjoy it, but you know, life still, like I said, life smacks you in the face. So had a lot happen since then too, but you know, that's another podcast, I guess.
It definitely is. We definitely have to plan our next one. I'm interested in the BMI one. We want to talk about that. And yes, and I definitely, your coaching and all of the good things that you're doing to, you know, to carry on with your races. I love it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for being on. Thank you for sharing your story. And I appreciate it.
Thank you too.
And I'm so proud of you.
Thanks again. I'm happy to be on. So yeah, let's talk about BMI, because that will be our next in body image, especially for women.
I think that's awesome. Thanks for that. Yes, we definitely will schedule it. So that will be soon. Up and coming, BMI. Mark your calendars, people. Thank you again so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Balanced Wellness Solutions podcast. Please leave a 5-star review if anything in this show spoke to you, or share this show with a friend to spread the word and help others find the balance they may also be searching for. Make sure to follow along with me on LinkedIn or Instagram at Dr. Courtney with a K, Ciccoletti, or check out my website at www.wellness-solutions.co to find out how we can possibly work together. Be well.